From the live music capital of the world, this is the Austin Music Experience. I'm Jody Denberg. In the late 1960s, Austin was still a sleepy college town, but even then, a small music scene was just starting to form. Today on the show, we'll talk with Ricky Stein, who's written a new book on Sonobeat Records, which was Austin's first independent label that kickstarted the careers of Johnny Winter, Eric Johnson, and others. Also, Michael Kincaid of What Made Milwaukee Famous gives us his favorite Austin music experience, awkwardly meeting Dave Grohl.
Only thing I did to him, I just shook my head, which could mean like, I'm going to kill you. Or what I was trying to convey was, you're the best drummer in the history of time.
Plus, back and forth with Jenny Lewis, one from the archives and one from her Beck-produced new album. Charles Bradley is in Studio 1A, and Slade Cleave celebrates his 50th birthday as the Austin Music Experience gets underway. This is the Austin Music Experience. I'm Jody Denberg. Author Ricky Stein takes us back to Sonobeat Records. This was an Austin label that bridged the gap between psychedelic rock and the progressive country movement of the early 70s. That's later in the program. First, some new music. In a moment, we'll hear from Betty Sue. That's an Austinite, S-O-O. But first, Austin's Centromatic. Will Johnson and Company have put out their 11th album. It's got a great title, Take Pride in Your Long Odds. Their fans funded this record, and they got goodies in return, like homemade salsa. We got Will Johnson and Company in Studio 1A to perform a track live from the album called Cross Path.
Everywhere you go, they got you running back this town, crossing paths, the single stay air. In the time you would switch, I will always know you're back this town, counting right. The evening fades. A single file with all your followers in line. I saw you sleeping in the distance. Counting rights, rolling out.
stars in our sky no longer shining to the rhythm of words on a page. Listen to the crackle of a wood bridge burn to the tires spinning out on gravel and earth to the cry of a baby just after his birth slapped in the light.
That was Austin's Betty Sue on the Austin Music Experience. The first track on her new album, When We're Gone, is called Listen. Austin's Betty Sue plays the Cactus Cafe tonight. Listen is co-produced by Brian Standifer, great cello player, works with Alejandro Escovedo, as well as his own outfit, Screen Door Music. Glenn Fukunaga on bass on that track. It's Betty Sue's first solo record in 5 years. In 2012, she did a release with Doug Cox as her partner. And we started with Austin Centromatic, a live Studio 1A take on Cross Path. Will Johnson and company have their 11th album just out. Take pride in your long odds. Now here we go back and forth with Jenny Lewis. If you don't know Jenny by her own name, maybe you know her LA outfit, Rilo Kiley. She was in that band for years. She had a great solo album about 4 or 5 years ago called Acid Tongue. We haven't heard from her for a while, but we will on July 29th. Her forthcoming third solo album, The Voyager, comes out. We've got one from the forthcoming album, but first we go back to another outfit Jenny was part of. Jenny Lewis and the Watson Twins visited Studio 1A in 2006. We're going to take you back to that performance for the song The Charging Sky.
1, 2, 3, 4. If I run uphill, I'm out of breath. If I spend all of my money, then I've got no money left. If I place all of my chips on only one bet, I'm all in. But it's a surefire bet I'm gonna die. So I'm taking up praying on Sunday nights. And it's not that I believe in your almighty, but I might as well as insurance or bail. 'Cause institutions like a big bright light, and it blinds you into fearing, consuming and fighting. In the desert underneath the charging sky, it's just you and God. But what if God's not there, but his name is on your dollar bill, which just became cab fare? For the evangelists, the communists, the lefts and the rights, and the hypocrites and the Jesuits and the blacks and the whites, it's in the belly of the beast, in the Austin streets. or up in Laurel Canyon, the village in the Middle East. Farmer Dave! Still they're dying on the dark continent. It's been happening long enough to mention it. Have I mentioned my parents are getting back together again? It's been 25 years of spreading infection. Somehow we're not affected. So my mom, she brushes her hair, and my dad starts growing Bob Dylan's beard, and I share with my friends a couple of beers in the Orlando streets, in the belly of the beast.
Something inside that won't let me.
The Austin Music Experience going back and coming forth with Jenny Lewis. Her forthcoming album comes out July 29th. That song is from it, Just One of the Guys. This is her third solo album. It's called The Voyager. And the song we heard, Just One of the Guys, Beck produced, but Ryan Adams pitches in on the production end as well. And we went back to 2006. Jenny Lewis, in between her last couple of Rilo Kiley records, did a project with the Watson Twins. Billed as Jenny Lewis and the Watson Twins from 2006, the Studio 1A take on The Charging Sky. Coming up, author Ricky Stein shines a light on Austin's first independent record label, Sonobeat. They brought us Johnny Winter's blues, psychedelic rock, progressive country, and literally more in all sorts of styles. Plus, the screamy eagle of soul, Mr. Charles Bradley, is in our Studio 1A. Stay tuned. From the live music capital of the world, this is the Austin Music Experience.
I'm Gary Hartman with the Center for Texas Music History at Texas State University in San Marcos. This week in Texas Music History, we'll meet a keyboard player who was part of Texas royalty. Augie Myers was born on May 31, 1940 in San Antonio. He grew up playing blues, jazz, conjunto, and rock and roll with his childhood friend Doug Somm. In the mid-1960s, Myers was part of Somm's highly successful Sir Douglas Quintet.
Never get too big, you sure don't get too heavy. Don't have to stop breathing, lose some time, yeah. You never get too big, you sure don't.
The group's royal-sounding name was meant to help the band capitalize on the British invasion led by the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, and other English groups. In 1989, Augie Myers and Doug Somm joined with Freddie Fender and Flaco Jimenez to form the Texas Tornadoes, which quickly gained worldwide fame.
Hey, baby, kept my soul. Thought I was your only vato.
Augie Myers continues to write, record, and perform, carrying his unique Texas blend of blues, conjunto, country, and rock and roll to the rest of the world. Next time on This Week in Texas Music History, we'll meet a musician who is finally living up to his name. This Week in Texas Music History is made possible in part with support from Humanities Texas. I'm Gary Hartman.
I'm Tyler Pratt, and as part of your Austin Music Experience, this is your soundcheck. Austin lost a beloved and longtime member of its music community this week. Burton Wilson's photographs of legendary Austin music establishments in the 1960s and 70s became memorable documents of the rise of the live music capital. His pictures helped immortalize such venues as the Vulcan Gas Company and the Armadillo World Headquarters. His iconic photos included portraits of Muddy Waters, Doug Somm, Willie Nelson, Bruce Springsteen, and more. Burton passed away Monday. He was 95. earlier this week, an idea was floated past the Austin Music Commission to put up a statue of Danzig riding a dragon to welcome visitors to the Red River Cultural District downtown. The statue was suggested as a bit of a joke, but it picked up a good amount of media attention, which has brought focus to the meeting, which also suggested several other improvements to the area. As the Austin Business Journal reports, the commission is worried about the state of the sidewalks that run through the district, which are broken, cracked, and in places barely present. All factors that bar and nightclub owners in the area say present danger to pedestrians. The Music Commission advises City Council on issues, so we'll keep you posted on the matter. In the meantime, the district is preparing a series of big events to celebrate Red River's importance to the Austin music economy. The lineup for Utopia Fest is out, one of Texas's premier camping music festivals in the heart of the Hill Country. Utopia Fest prides itself on being family-friendly, BYOB, and offering no music overlap. Heading to the two stages outside San Antonio in Utopia, Texas this year are Cold War Kids, Warpaint, Father John Misty, Billy Joe Shaver, Wild Child, Wheeler Brothers, Ruby Jane, and more. The audience is capped at 2,000, and camping is free, so the festival suggests purchasing your tickets ASAP. Utopia Fest is September 12th through the 14th. You're listening to the Austin Music Experience. I'm Tyler Pratt.
Ain't no kind of cure for my disease. My hat don't hang on the same nail too long.
We welcome to the Austin Music Experience author Ricky Stein. He has a new book called Sonobeat Records, Pioneering the Austin Sound in the 60s. And Ricky, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
I really enjoyed reading this book because the subtitle of the book is true, Pioneering the Austin Sound in the 60s, because Sonobeat, one of the first indie labels in Austin, and had a lot of the characteristics that then became part of the Austin music experience and the live music capital of the world. First, let's talk about you for a second. You were an intern at KLRU when the idea for this book came around?
Yes, that's correct. I was going to the University of Texas, finishing up my degree in American Studies. One of the internships I got was production assistant. And so I got to work on the set of Austin City Limits, the TV show. And I started a conversation with Michael Emery, one of the producers there. I told him I was a musician and interested in some kind of music-related career, interested in music history. And he told me about this record label, Sonobeat Records. The idea kind of took off. Everybody really liked it a lot. And then it turned into this big thesis paper that I wrote. And next thing I know, I filled out a book proposal and now...
Here we are.
Yeah.
Sonobeat Records, 1967 to 1976. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, that was the period that it was in operation in Austin.
And is it fair to say Sonobeat was one of the first independent labels in Austin?
Yes. I mean, there were independent labels before that, such as Domino Records, but they were mostly short-lived things. There were no studios in Austin back then. I mean, Austin wasn't even known as a live music scene, really. You know, it was known as a cool college town, but not a lot more than that.
So between 1967 and 1976, this label, Sonobeat, puts out 24 singles, a couple of albums, two of which are nationally distributed. The music on the label kind of bridges the gap between psychedelic and progressive country, reflecting what's going on in Austin, and has one of the first racially integrated bands. So many things that reflect the Austin music scene as it grows up. Who are the guys that started this label?
Well, it was started by a father-son duo, Bill Josie Sr., Bill Josie Jr. Bill Josie Jr. Got a job at a radio station called KZZFM and starts going under the radio name Rim Kelly because he thought it was catchier, I guess. But then his dad ends up working as the program manager at KAZZ. And they started doing these recordings, these live broadcasts around Austin. Then when they decided to record bands and, you know, release it commercially, what they would do, they didn't have a studio or anything at the time. They would just simply get the band together and talk to the club owners, and they would just sort of empty out the club in the middle of the day. So, for example, the Johnny Winter album, the Progressive Blues Experiment, that was actually recorded in the Vulcan Gas Company during the day. It's not a live album in the sense that it's in front of a live audience, but it is the band playing live just on the floor of the club, with that spacious club.
Let's talk a little bit more about the Progressive Blues Experiment. That's Johnny Winter's debut album. It's before he makes the leap to Columbia Records and gets this big signing advance. And Sonobeat Records is in the right place at the right time and has the foresight to record him. Another thing that this label did that then would become commonplace with indie records is they licensed Johnny's Sonobeat record to a larger label, mm-hmm. right? Was it Liberty? I forget.
Yes, Liberty Records.
Did that bring some money to Sonobeat that then they would kind of live off of the rest of their days and sign bands with?
Yes, I wouldn't say lived off the rest of their days, but they certainly, you know, the thing is, at that time, Johnny Winter was as hot of a commodity as you can be musically. He had, and they found him just at the right time and agreed to do this record with him at the Vulcan. Right after they made that record, a big article came out in Rolling Stone magazine declaring Johnny Winter the hottest thing in Texas since Janis Joplin.
The rumors are over. The great new albino blues guitar player from Texas has arrived. His name is Johnny Winter. Listen. The Progressive Blues Experiment, the first album by Johnny Winter, features both sides of his new single, 44, and Rollin' and Tumblin'.
And he became a big star. He played at Woodstock, and there was a bidding war that ensued, actually, for the rights to his next album. And then, so Sonobeat already had this album in the can, and they were able to, turn that into a little revenue source for themselves as well.
Ricky Stein is our guest. He has a new book called Sonobeat Records, Pioneering the Austin Sound in the 60s. This label was around from 1967 to 1976. We mentioned Johnny Winter and the band Johnny had at the time, the late Uncle John Turner, the much alive Tommy Shannon, who played in Stevie Ray Vaughan and Double Trouble. Right there, you can see that Sonobeat Records is the thing that sort of gives birth to Stevie Ray Vaughan, and then in turn, Gary Clark Jr. You can trace both of those artists back to this first indie label that you've written your book about. There wasn't really another record as big as the Johnny Winter record for Sonobeat, but there were a lot of different people that came around. I'm thinking of the Los Gonzo guys were already involved, so mm-hmm. How were they involved after the Johnny Winter record? Did they make a Los Gonzo record, or?
Well, you've got the Lavender Hill Express, which had Rusty Weir, and for a time, the Lavender Hill Express even included Gary P. Nunn. Although that was after they had done their three singles for Sonobeat.
Watch out! Round that corner! Here I come!
A lot of these same guys that were recording in for Sonobeat went on to be a big part of the progressive country movement that soon followed. And it makes sense because Sonobeat was recording the top local acts in Austin. And these were the bands that were drawing the most crowd and getting the most buzz, you know. And so it kind of made sense that these musicians would get to know one another and then, you know, end up working together and collaborating.
How about The Conqueror? Were they on Sonobeat? That was Bill Bentley's band?
Yes, The Conqueror and Ed Gwynn as well. And they were one of the first racially integrated bands in Austin. This was kind of still, you know, the 1960s. They only did the one single, but they still kind of have this name recognition, not just in Austin, but in San Francisco, and you know, their records are still, well, the record is still a kind of widely sought collector's item.
So we have the roots of the blues scene in the Sonobeat label. We have the roots of the progressive country scene in the former of the Los Gonzo members and Rusty Weir. And Eric Johnson was involved as well. Roots of the rock scene. Eric, who went on to be a multi-platinum recording artist and win Grammys. Was he working with Mariani?
That's correct. Vince Mariani. And the band was called Mariani. And what that was Well, Eric at the time was just a young kid, you know, 14, 15 years high school, you know. Vince Mariani was a very accomplished jazz drummer. You know, he actually, the first single Sonobeat released for Mariani was a drum solo. And yeah, as you can imagine, not the most marketable single in the world, but a testament to his skill as a drummer. Vince brings young Eric Johnson on board, and they start this band Mariani. And they were one of the, they did a full album with Sonobeat actually. And as is the case with a lot of Sonobeat's output, it never sold and took hold like the Johnny Winter album did, but it had wild fanfare. It had a lot of people really believed in it. It just kind of didn't hit, you know?
So Bill Josie, the father of the two folks who started this label, he passed away in 1976, which is right around the time that the television program Austin City Limits was launched and really brought Austin to, you know, a national audience. So it was almost the passing of the baton. And up until that point, Sonobeat was kind of it.
Yeah. Well, that the main contribution for Sonobeat was that period between the Elevators and the progressive country movement coming to town.
Ricky, just a couple more things. Again, the book Sonobeat Records, Pioneering the Austin Sound in the 60s. When you went back to try and find out about this label, and as we said, a lot of this stuff is hard to find, who had the artifacts? Who preserved them?
Well, I spent a lot of time at the Briscoe Center on UT campus. They have a lot of the old 45s, actually. And it's really cool. I mean, I got to go in there and place these records on the turntable and put the headphones on and listen to them. And it was really fantastic. I couldn't believe how crisp and clear the recording sounded, you know, 40 years on, these old discs. And then also for interviews, one of the coolest parts of the project was when Doug Hanners granted me permission to listen to his interview tapes with Bill Josie that he made the year before he died.
So the legacy of Sonobeat here in 2014, like we said, there was only a couple dozen singles were made. Are there some of these that are really collectible? Are there people out there, the record collectors of the world, the guys that Doug Hanners caters to with his record convention, that people search for, they go on eBay and look for? What are they and what do they sell for?
Well, a good example is The Conqueror. Their only single, their only commercial release was through Sonobeat Records. And that record, I looked online when I was finishing up the book, and it listed for $150 for just the single. So that's $75 a song right there, you know, side A and side B. But it's history, you know, and it's Austin history, and there's a niche market for it. And there are Sonobeat fans from around the world. Bill Josie Jr. actually started the Sonobeat Records website because of continued interest about the site and about the history and the artists that they recorded. So yeah, there's definitely still interest in the label, and for good reason. It's great music.
Really fascinating stuff. And as a Johnny Winter fan and as a fan of Austin music in the late 60s and early 70s, thank you, Ricky Stein, for writing this book, Sonobeat Records. Illuminating and interesting. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
The Lone Star Slide Rider, Johnny Winter, his version of I Got Love If You Want It. It's an old Slim Harpo tune. Johnny did it on his debut, The Progressive Blues Experiment, that came out in 1968 by Austin Sonobeat Records, as you hopefully heard. It's the subject of a new book by Ricky Stein, Sonobeat Records, Pioneering the Austin Sound in the 1960s. Coming up, Michael Kincaid of Austin's What Made Milwaukee Famous tells us his favorite Austin music experience. It involves making faces at Dave Grohl. Well, Michael, you're not alone. Plus, Charles Bradley and Slade Cleaves in Studio 1A, and a preview of next week's show, which is, if I dare say it, just as cool as this week's show. The Austin Music Experience continues in a moment. This is the Austin Music Experience. I'm Jody Denberg. What Made Milwaukee Famous is an Austin band. They made three records over the course of 8 years, and you may recognize their name from the title of a Jerry Lee Lewis song. And throughout the years, they've played with a lot of huge acts like the Smashing Pumpkins, the Black Keys, and Arcade Fire. But that doesn't mean that What Made Milwaukee Famous doesn't get starstruck. Frontman Michael Kincaid gives us his favorite Austin music experience.
Them Crooked Vultures were playing at ACL Festival 2009. One of my friends came and told me and said that this is Them Crooked Vultures trailer right behind you, so just be on the lookout. I'm being cool. I'm not like stalking. And then I see Josh and Dave and John Paul Jones walking, and I'm making this really stupid, like actually with fists and clenched teeth, like, oh, as they're walking by. But Dave Grohl like looked at me, he made eye contact, and then looked away. He's like, oh my God, I don't want to, what is this guy doing? And then he realized that I saw him make eye contact. So he looked back and he just did the same thing back at me, like, rrr. And then they went back into the trailers. I saw that Dave Grohl came out and was talking to somebody who was sitting there. I don't think I had a grin on my face or anything like that. Only thing I did to them, I just shook my head, which could mean like, I'm going to kill you. Or what I was trying to convey was, you're the best drummer in the history of time. And he's like, well, I guess I gotta get this over with if this guy's gonna murder me or whatever. And he actually came and talked to us for, me and my friend, for about 15, 20 minutes. I said I just needed to talk to him because I'm going to open up for him someday. So I wanted to get this the small talk out of the way. So I gave him our CDs, which he probably used as coasters back in the trailer. But I got to meet him, and that's why I love Austin. Hey, this is Michael Kincaid from What Made Milwaukee Famous, and this is my Austin music experience.
Somebody's ringing the bell. Someone's knocking at the door. Somebody's the door and let him in.
On the Austin Music Experience, Michael Kincaid of What Made Milwaukee Famous told us about his favorite Austin Music Experience, and that's one of our favorite covers by What Made Milwaukee Famous, their version of Paul McCartney's Let 'Em In, recorded in 2010. Wings did their version in 1976. You might hear Paul play that song. He's in Lubbock for the first time ever to play a show June 14th. He's in Dallas June 16th. And by the way, happy early birthday, Paul, who turned 72 June 18th. We continue the Austin Music Experience with a band called Wooden Birds. They're from Austin. They made a couple records. They're not together anymore. But Andrew Kenny of the band, before he was in the Wooden Birds, was in American Analog Set. They have a reissue coming out, and Andrew Kenny is on this program next week. Here's Wooden Birds on the Austin Music Experience.
Thank you. after you come home, you light a little fire. A little fire barely enough to burn you. Heaven knows it only gives a little light. But sometimes it's a little light that gets you. All the books that were so sad, a lonesome history of a hard parts 1 through 4. I wrote another about 2 matchsticks holding hands. You're saying to the other, you won't burn alone anymore.
You put the flame on me.
You make me shine.
Charles Bradley, yes, the screaming eagle of soul, returned to Studio 1A recently for You Put the Flame on It. That's on, if you can believe this, only the second record, second full-length album, I should say, the man has ever done, Victim of Love. He was preceded by the Austin outfit Wooden Birds, who made two records while they were together. That was from their second, the song Two Matchsticks, the live take done in 2011 in Studio 1A. Andrew Kenny, before he was a Wooden Bird, was the leader of the band American Analog Set. Their great album from 2001 is being reissued this month. We're going to talk to Andrew Kenny about that record and both of his bands next week on this, The Austin Music Experience, which we conclude today by wishing a happy 50th birthday to Slade Cleaves. Slade is celebrating his birthday Sunday with a show at the Stateside at the Paramount. He talked to KUTX's John Ailey last year about the inspiration behind the title track to his latest album, Still Fighting the War.
I started it in 2009, and it went through very many variations, and it was more general about the idea of getting swindled. It was written in the depths of the recession, and it was originally called The War to End All Wars. Mm-hmm. And there were phrases in there like Home for Christmas and Mission Accomplished and Too Big to Fail and The Unsinkable Ship and The New Economy and all these things. And I realized I had to focus it down on one thing. And actually, I had started focusing it down, and I was talking to my friend Wranglin' Ron Coy, who lives down in Wimberley, and talking about the song, and he was talking about a Vietnam vet buddy of his who had just recently passed away. And this was a guy named Brian Fuller, who I knew too, who never quite adjusted to life back home, you know, all these years. And Ron said in this phone conversation, he said, "Poor Brian, man, it's like he was still fighting the war all this time." Right. And I said, "Ron, you just got yourself a co-write there."
Right, right.
Hard times coming home now. Can't get your feet on the ground. Got some issues and no one wants you around. Barely sleeping and you can't get through to the VA on the phone. No one's hiring and no one wants to give you a loan. And everyone else is carrying on just like they've always done before. You've been home for a couple of years now, buddy, but you're still fighting the war. Back to Fallujah, lost another best friend. Three tours of duty and you're wondering when it's all gonna end. Body's broken and bone shattered, blood and dust in your mouth. Getting weary but you're running with the few and the proud. Sometimes you wonder why you went, you don't wonder what you stayed on for. You've been home for a couple of years now, buddy, but you're still fighting the war. Men go off to war for 100 reasons, but they all come home with the same demons. Some you can keep at bay for a while, some will pin you to the floor. You've been home for a couple of years now, buddy, but you're still fighting the war. The bedspread is fraying, faded and tearing apart. Two strangers holding each other in the dark. Tell me, what were you dreaming? How did you think it would end? Scattered out into the wind, and all the happily ever afters turn to broken dishes and slamming doors. You've been home for a couple of years now, buddy, but you're still fighting the war. Thank you.
Austin Slade Cleaves recorded live in Studio 1A last year, the title track to his latest, Still Fighting the War. Slade Cleaves plays Sunday night stateside at the Paramount to celebrate his 50th birthday. Thanks for listening. If you missed a bit of this episode or any episode of the Austin Music Experience, find them all at kutx.org. Yep, just look for Austin Music Experience. The program is a production of KUTX Austin, produced by Art Levy, with assistance from myself and Quentin Bodwin, our live music engineers, Cliff Hargrove and Casey Cheek. I'm Jody Denberg. Good night, Austin, Texas, wherever you are.